Good evening, everyone. So we get to give me a chance to express my theory. And, you know, my theories are just theories. But when I was, every time I've read that about what Jesus said after Mary, the sister of Lazarus, anointed his head and his feet with the nard, and he said, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be spoken of in memory of her. And I thought, well, there are many, many great things in the Bible, many great things that happened during his 3-odd years of ministry. And yet this one thing, he says, this will be spoken of wherever the gospel is preached. And Matthew and Mark and John wrote about it. And I'm guessing that the early church knew all about it and that it has been spoken wherever the gospel was preached. Luke didn't bring it up, but, you know, Luke is coming in a little bit after the fact, talking to the eyewitnesses and making a historical account on the basis of the eyewitness testimony of what he's putting together in the book of Luke and the book of Acts. And we know that he became a traveling companion of Paul somewhere in the middle of the book of Acts, about chapter 16. But these others were on the scene when these things took place. So I wanted to find out why. Why the emphasis on this rather simple deed? And I hope that as we go through it and look at it, that we are reminded that the gospel itself is a rather simple message. A rather simple message of what we need to do to be saved and why. And then as we grow in Christ, we fill in all those details. Raising of Lazarus. We're going back there again and then we're through for a while of Lazarus. But raising of Lazarus brought the Pharisees much fear. It reminds me a little bit of later when Peter and John went up to the temple and they gave the ability to a man to walk, a man who was born crippled from his mother's womb, and everybody knew that man, and nobody could deny that a great miracle had taken place. And here, the same sort of a situation where many, many people were fully aware that Jesus had gone to this tomb after this man was dead for 4 days and spoken words that caused that man to come out of that tomb alive. And this was really upsetting the Pharisees. It shook them to their core because they were doing their best to hang on to their nation and to hang on to their position of power in that nation. The Romans at any time could say, we're through with you. And so they were worried about things like this, and they were unwilling to see the facts that were right in front of their faces. Because in order to see those facts and take in that information, then they would have to change their hearts and their ambitions and their occupations and become something different that they didn't want to become. In John 11, 43 through 46, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. I don't know if any of you have ever tried to tear a piece of linen, but linen is pretty strong stuff if it's fresh and new, which this, of course, would have been. And we know that when Jesus was prepared for burial, he was wrapped in linen wrappings, and I think it's safe to assume that it would have been some durable fabric, not something that the man would have been able to tear himself out of. And so Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. A lot of people have marveled at this and wondered, well, does this mean that Jesus had people go up and take those strips of cloth off of him, or does it mean that he's telling death to unbind him? And we really don't know for sure. But nevertheless, when he was out of the wrappings, he was alive. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. And so the Pharisees that were already on edge were really, really upset, wanted to get this miracle shoved back into the darkness if possible, send them both back to that tomb and all the people that saw it, rather than to admit what Jesus had done. The priest there, the high priest, was known as the evil priest. The Essenes that lived in that area used to refer to him as the evil high priest. And he was. He had a lot of influence. And he used his influence to benefit himself and his family. And he was certainly one who was definitely against Jesus. It says, therefore the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, what are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man die for the people, and that the whole nation not perish. Now, as we know this story, we understand that these were words that God was putting in his mouth. It says this, now he did not say this on his own initiative, John 11:51 and following, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but in order that he might also gather together into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they planned together to kill him. Planned to kill Jesus because of their jealousy, their envy, their fear that Rome would take away their nation and they would lose their position. John 11:54, therefore Jesus no longer continued to walk publicly among them, among the Jews, but went away from there to the country near the wilderness into a city called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. Ephraim was north of Judea, and it would be right there in that area. Here's Jerusalem. Here would be Bethany, the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. This would be, over here, would be the Bethany across the Jordan where he went previously. But this time he just went up to Ephraim, which was getting close to the area of Samaria, and then on up to Galilee, if you would keep going up. So he didn't go very far away, but he went to a place where they wouldn't bother him. And he waited. But again, he would only wait until the time was right. John 11:55-57, now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up to Jerusalem out of the country before the Passover to purify themselves. So they were seeking for Jesus and were saying to one another as they stood in the temple, what do you think, that he will not come to the feast at all? Now, of course, the reason they might speculate that is because last time he was there, they were trying to kill him. So again, it says, now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was to report it so that they might seize him. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Again, the idea that Jesus was going to go ahead and do what Jesus was going to do because Jesus was on a mission. No one would divert him from that mission. So when the time was right, he went back to Bethany. Now here it says 6 days before the Passover. And we're going to read about a meal at the home of Simon the leper. It didn't happen on this day that he returned, but it happens about 4 days later. Don't let that confuse you. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there. It looks like it was on, you know, just when he just showed up. Later we'll find out not. There were a few days in between. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving. But Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now that's not all that happened, but as we put the three Gospels together, we'll learn more. And it says, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people? Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore Jesus said, let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. One of the congregations that I've worked with, we would always seem to have a low contribution on the day when a certain fellow was involved in counting the money. It was just very consistent that we would always be down a couple hundred dollars on that day, and we all kind of knew what was going on, and eventually they had somebody else count the money, and then they weren't down on those days. But that's the way old Judas was. He was looking to put the money in his pocket. And in fact, this is about a year's wages that Mary has opened. Now, we'll read about it being broken open. And as I've studied that, we also can see in the scriptures that it seems that he would have her save some of it and put it aside. And so let's look at all of those things. Did she break the vial or did she break the seal on the vial? But anyway, we'll keep going. And Jesus says, for you always have the poor with you. Let her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. So again, the idea that she's going to keep some of it for the day of his burial, which is upcoming in the near future, again gives you the idea that breaking open the vial might have involved, you know, breaking a seal on the vial. And they did have wax seals and so forth so that there wouldn't be evaporation of something that was worth a year's wages. So the book was the Gospel of John. It said that they went to Bethany. It said that's where Lazarus was, and we know that was the home. And so it says Mary, in John 11:2, it was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick, back in John chapter 11, verse 2. It was perfume. It was 1 pound of nard. It was a very high quality, expensive perfume, as witnessed by those who were indignant about its use in this manner and who wanted to sell it for what they could have gotten out of it. Action, she poured it on Jesus' feet and she wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance. And Jesus' comment, let her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So that's basically what happened. Now that house remained full of that fragrance, I'm sure, for a very long time. Now the Apostle Matthew, leaving the book of John, the Apostle Matthew fills in other details. Matthew 26, 6 through 10. Now when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him. He doesn't say Mary, he says a woman, with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume. So once again, we see it's very costly perfume, and this nard is in an alabaster vial. And she poured it on his head. Oh, before it was her feet, the feet, but now it's the head. Poured it on his head, and as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant, and they saw this, and they said, why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. So far we're getting more details. We find out that it was on his head, it was on his feet, it was an alabaster vial, and that some of it might have been saved from John. We saw that. And he doesn't want people to bother her because she has done a good deed to him. Wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. Matthew 26, 11 through 13. He says, for you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. That's got to be significant. And I racked my brain and I prayed and I meditated and I read and I tried to put all the accounts together throughout the week so that I would not miss the significance of why Jesus made this statement. I think it's very important. So the book, Matthew, the place, Bethany, but not Lazarus' house, home of Simon the leper. The person, a woman, whom we know to be Mary from the book of John, whom we know to be Mary the sister of Lazarus from John chapter 11. And what did she have? She had an alabaster vial of very costly perfume. What was her action? She poured it on Jesus' head, and Jesus comments, "She has done a good deed for me, for when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached, in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." We don't hear him saying about that about Zacchaeus who climbed the tree. We don't see him saying that about the one leper who returned to give thanks. We don't hear him saying that about anybody else but Mary, the sister of Lazarus of Bethany. Mark gives another detail. The meal was actually 2 days before the Passover, and she broke the vial, whatever that means. Now the Passover and unleavened bread were 2 days away, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to seize him by stealth and kill him. For they were saying, "Not during the festival, otherwise there might be a riot of the people." While he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard, and she broke the vial and poured it over his head. So she didn't break it over his head. She broke the vial and poured it over his head. And breaking the vial, as I said, could simply have meant breaking the seal. Because from what Jesus said in John, it seems that maybe it would be resealed for the day of his burial. And if you remember, the women were watching, like I said this morning, they were watching to see what would become of the body of Jesus. And they were wanting to continue the preparations, but it was the Sabbath, it was getting dark, they had to stop. And on Friday night, before Saturday, before it was counted as Saturday, at nightfall. And so they went back early in the morning with spices and possibly the remainder of this perfume to put on Jesus. Mark 14, 4 through 9, "But some were indignantly remarking to one another, 'Why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii and the money given to the poor.' And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them, but you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her.'" Now, from what Matthew said and what Mark said in the New American Standard Bible, there's only one word different. And he says in Matthew, he says, "wherever this gospel is preached." Mark says, "wherever the gospel is preached." So basically means the same thing, doesn't it? So the book was Mark. The place was Bethany. The home was the home of Simon the leper, not Lazarus. And it was, again, a woman whom we know to be Mary from the other passages. The perfume was in an alabaster vial, a very costly perfume of pure nard. And the action, she broke the vial and poured it over Jesus' head, probably meaning that she broke the seal, not the bottle. And so we've already read the comments. Let's move on. Luke did not mention the incident, but tells that Mary had chosen Jesus as something necessary and of highest importance in her life. So in Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42, we have this incident in the history of mankind where Jesus came to the home of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." I think almost anybody here has been Martha at one time or another. I think I've been Martha at one time or another. you know, worried about many things, something bothering me, I'm not doing what I ought to be doing because something else is bothering me, or I do things I shouldn't do because something else is bothering me. And Jesus says, look, Martha, one thing is necessary to the Martha in all of us, amen? Only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know, it was not common for women to sit at the feet of the rabbi. But in the case of Jesus, there were some who did. And you can see by their understanding the things that they spoke to Jesus, like, yeah, I know that you are the resurrection. I know that my brother will rise in the resurrection. All those things that Martha understood that we studied this morning, these were things that she learned sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. And this is what Mary wanted to do, and where Mary wanted to be, and where we ought to be also when we get distracted in this life and go back and sit at the feet of Jesus the Christ. Think about him, talk to him, read his word. So here's the summary of the three accounts. If we could put them all together without adding or subtracting from the scriptures, this is kind of what we would get. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was. And 2 days before the Passover, a meal was prepared at the home of Simon the leper, I believe still in Bethany. And then Martha was serving, and Jesus and Lazarus were reclining at the table. Lazarus' sister, Mary, took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard in an alabaster vial and broke it, and she poured it over Jesus' head, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, and she wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. When people complained about what they, I'm still on the summary now, when people complained about what they called a waste, Jesus defended her action. Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. Let her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. An indication that she only broke the seal, not the bottle, and that some would be saved for after his death, Tim's theory. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them, but you do not always have me. Again, Jesus predicting he's going to have a burial real soon, and he wouldn't always be among them in the way that he was at that time. Again, continuing the summary of the three accounts, for when she poured the perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. So now I don't know if that it should give us an indication that she went from his head down to his feet, or that his head and his feet were enough to be considered his body. But she has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. And that's basically the summary of what took place. And so here's my question and our bottom line for tonight as we get ready to close. What was the great significance of her deed? Why would Jesus speak these words about her and her alone? That wherever the gospel was preached in the whole world, what this woman had done would be spoken of her in memory of her. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. Here's my opinion. Because she did what he wants us all to do. Not complicated. She did what he wants us all to do. Now, argue with me later if you don't agree, please. But she chose Jesus as her most necessary. That was done before she ever brought that year's wages worth of nard into that room. She had already chosen Jesus as her most necessary. With care and devotion, she had listened at his feet. She became one who knew him, knew his voice, understood his teachings, applied them to her life, trusted in them for her future. She understood why he said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. She understood that. She understood why he would lay down his life and take it up again, why the shepherd would become the lamb. And she brought the very best that she had, and she gave it to him. Broke it open. The evaporation process could begin. Put it on his head. Put it on his feet. Bowed down at his feet in humility. Wiped his feet with her hair. She understood that he was the anointed king. That he was the Lord. That he was the Messiah. That he was the one who had been prophesied to come into the world. You know, as we looked at that a few days ago, we often think about Peter's great confession that the church is built upon, but you could build it on Mary's too, or Martha's also, I should say. Martha's confession. I know who you are. She understood he was the anointed king and Lord. With trust, she blessed his head with her expensive perfume. With love, she bowed down and blessed his feet. She was fully committed. She was fully his. He was fully hers. And she understood his mission. And she trusted her future to him. Could that be it? Could that be the thing I've been searching for all week to try and understand about why he would say, or wherever the gospel is preached, what this woman has done shall be spoken of in memory of her? Seems kind of simple, but maybe it's supposed to be that we would understand. That's what he wants from all of us, and that's why it was so special that he doesn't want anyone to forget. So here's our question for tonight. Are you there at his feet? Are you down there with Mary? I can't wipe his feet with my hair very well, but I would if I could. Have you chosen Jesus as most necessary? Do you, with care and devotion, listen at his feet? And by that I mean, do you meditate on his word? Do you speak to him in prayer? Do you trust him with your future? Do you understand why the shepherd, the great shepherd, laid down his life for the sheep and became the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for our sins? Do you daily give him your very best? Is he your king and your Lord that God anointed over you? Do you trust him? Is he over you as head? Are you serving at his feet? Will he raise you up to eternal life? And so that brings us to the question, have you done that simple thing? And are you continuing it? Are you born again? And are you living new? Are you doing what Mary did? Does he own you? Do you own him? If you have any need to respond to tonight's lesson, we certainly offer you an opportunity for baptism or prayer or whatever you may need as we stand and as we sing.